May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn number 43. Precious Bible, what a treasure does the Word of God afford. All I want for life or pleasure, food and medicine, shield and sword, is revealed in Jehovah's sacred word. Hymn number 43.
Thank you. us read together for our instruction from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also heareth beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have not, which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemies that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, inasmuch as they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honour, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The Lord instruct us from his own holy word and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious God, as we come before thee, we pray that thou wilt teach us how and for what to pray. We would pray for wisdom, for understanding of the precious truths that are recorded in thy holy word. We pray for thy gracious spirit, that he may take of the things that are of Christ to reveal them to us, that we may not be ignorant of the way of salvation. Lord, that we may sit under the sound of the gospel and yet know no more of divine truth in the heart than we did when brought in as a babe, maybe, or brought into thine house when young. But, O Lord, it is thy mercy if thou hast taught us and showed unto us that wisdom which is from above, which is peaceable, easy to be entreated. And therefore we would come, Lord, and entreat of thee to show us those things as the disciples did, to unfold to our wondering faith those blessings which are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that we may know the sacred work which was performed for poor unworthy sinners as we are. We will confess our many sins, realizing that thy soul that sinneth it shall die. We stand condemned under a holy law. There is no salvation to be found in that law. But thou who didst fulfill the law canst bring salvation down into our hearts. And indeed salvation has come down in the fact that there was made flesh and did dwell amongst those in the days which thou wast here upon earth, and thou didst go about doing good, and didst show thy power and thy grace. Oh, that we may, though we have not seen as Thomas saw, he saw the evidence of thy death and sufferings, and yet saw thee as one risen, and in a risen Christ to have hope. Yet, Lord, though we see thee not, yet may we be of those that believing may find our hearts rejoice that there is such condescension even to the worst of sinners, and that there is that love, everlasting love that can never fail nor fade, but is constant. Oh, that we may mourn much of the inconstancy of our love and faith, but Lord, thou in drawing us may cause us to run after thee. Thou who dost draw with the cords of a man with the bands of love, the cords of that one who has power to draw the chosen race by his great and blessed resistless grace. Oh, then we pray that we may know something of that effect upon our hearts, that we may run after thee, run in the way of thy commandments, that we may seek, O Lord, to be found as those that run in the race. Oh, may we not be slack. Do help us, Lord, to continue, even though much may seem to be against us. And indeed, Lord, we know it is through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom. Do grant, therefore, Lord, that fervency of spirit, that we may seek the Lord. Oh, do, Lord, strengthen us in our inner man. Do encourage us in the way. Help us, Lord, as we may face one thing and another in the course of our sojourn here. And when we feel to be overcome, yet to overcome at the last. O Lord, is it not through Christ alone that we may be more than conquerors through him who hath loved us? Gracious Lord, we pray that thou would help us now as we gather to worship thee. And may our worship be in spirit and in truth. Oh, do warm our hearts, our affections, and may there be a flowing out and a flowing together to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We pray that thou wilt grant help in hearing, that there should be the ear to hear, the eye to see, and that we may smell that good savour of the one blessed sacrifice offered for sin, even that of Christ, which we know to the Father is a sweet smell, or that it might be a blessed perfume to our own souls, that we may say, to know my Jesus crucified, by far or excels all things beside. All earthly gain I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Lord, we are often cold and faint. Oh, we feel, Lord, so little love. Yet we would love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more. Pardon, Lord, our shortcomings, for they are many, but thou art faithful. We would rejoice in thy faithfulness, though we have to mourn our unfaithfulness. Lord, then stoop down this day and do meet the needs of thy waiting people. We pray for help in the ministering of the word, that it may be empowered and in much assurance and in the Holy Ghost, not in word only. Lord, we fear sometimes we can be satisfied with just the word, but Lord, we need something more. We want the entrance of thy word that giveth light. Oh, then lighten our darkness. We pray that thou wilt grant, Lord, that there shall be the signs following. We seek fruit. We desire to see a stirring amongst the people. We desire that they may be constrained. Oh, to know constraining love, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that there may be a gracious reviving in the midst, a manifesting of those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, that they may declare to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. Lord, we pray that in these solemn dark days there has been much falling away. Many have gone to after their own pleasures and delights, has spurned the very word of truth and the preaching of the gospel. They seek their own, and yet not satisfied. Can they be satisfied? Lord, we pray that thou wilt empty them of anything that they may be satisfied in, and bring them to that needful want, so that they may come to themselves and inquire in their own hearts of what there was to known in the Father's house when they were there sitting under the sound of the gospel. Oh, that they may be brought to return, to seek a humble place, to desire to be found within the walls where the word is unfolded, where the truth is held, and where the blessing is known. May they come and prove that it is Bethel to their souls, the very house of God and the gate of heaven. Lord, we pray for the young, the rising race, that they may be kept. Oh, so many enticements there are on the left, on the right hand and on the left. Lord, do preserve them. Give them a desire to be found amongst thy people. May they be brought to say, here my best friends, my kindred dwell. Here God, my Saviour, reigns. May they not be ashamed, O Lord, of it. They may be faced with ridicule and persecution. They may find that they are as sparrows upon a housetop, alone, but oh, do grant that they may know that thou dost watch over even one of thy sparrows and doth not let them fall without the Father's knowledge. So, O Lord, keep thee, dear ones, in thy fear. And Lord, we pray that thou would also give parents that wisdom in bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A faithful and yet understanding when they may come with their questions and difficulties, when they may express their sorrows. O Lord, we pray that the parents may be helped. We do, Lord, desire that thou wilt grant a generation to be raised up to serve thee and to call thee blessed. O Lord, we also would bear before thee those in their evening time of life. May they be as the examples to the flock of such who are seeking that which is far better and desiring to be made ready to depart. And yet, Lord, we would pray that that such that manifest that godliness may be preserved until there are those who may take their place, as it were. Lord, we also pray that thou would have mercy upon our sinful land. Oh, the evils that abound, the wickedness that is enacted, lies that are expressed, the deception, and the desire to lead men away from the truth of the Word of God. But Lord, thou art the same. Thou dost omnipotently reign. Oh, then do come. Set down those that would seek to undermine and overthrow the things which are right. Raise up such, Lord, that may be of a good report and be able to guide the people in the things that are right. Lord, what confusion there is, what chaos we see. Amidst all the many voices, some crying this and some that, Lord, we need thee to arise and scatter the enemies. Have mercy, Lord, upon our sovereign queen. Help her still to maintain her lot and to walk before the people in a comely manner. So do hear us now. Pardon us of our every sin. All that we've uttered amiss, forgive. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he does wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. 627.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and read in the first part of verse 11. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and read in the first part of verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. This is the like account in this gospel as what we read in Matthew. We find there is a certain fullness in Matthew's gospel, and that was why we read from it. But the word is more suited here to bring before you as it is placed upon one's mind. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. There was a great crowd, a great multitude that were gathered, and he ministered to them the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to them in parables. And a parable is to be understood as a dark saying. A parable is that which is not understood by just looking at its obvious meaning. What was set before the people was something familiar to them. A sower that went forth to sow and to see whether seed dropped upon the ground, and to observe in time the different effects that it may have upon that seed, and the fact that certain grounds were suitable for growth. We say certain grounds. The parable sets forth there was only one really suitable ground for which the seed could germinate and then bring forth fruit in its season. But how many of them did understand the meaning that was to be conveyed by our Lord and Saviour? And after he had spoken it and used those words in conclusion, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Yet how many had the ears to hear? How many had the eyes to see? How many had the heart and knowledge to understand? What a mercy it is when there is revelation, the revelation of God to the soul, to unfold the mystery of the truth, that we may then know, and know the truth that sets the poor, chained soul, as it may be, chained in darkness, chained in its ways of sin and ungodliness, chained in its formality, chained in a profession wherein there is no grace known. But when the Lord brings that deliverance, then he may sweetly, blessedly speak these words, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So the disciples and those that were now with him, because we read that he was alone, except for those that came to him at this particular time, and to these the Lord would unfold to them the mystery of what he had spoken. And not only with this parable, but he spake unto them many other parables. And one of the other parables, having spoken such, he said, "And do ye now believe?" They thought they did believe. They confessed that they believed. But how little even the disciples truly understood. We know that when our Lord was a few days away from being taken by wicked men and to be crucified, he there, as it would appear in that upper room, conversed with them concerning that he would go away and see them no more, or they would see him no more, rather. And they could not understand how he said, "A little while and ye see me, and again a little while and ye see me not." What doth he mean? They could not comprehend it. But once our Lord then spake to them of what he meant, he again asked them, "Do ye now understand?" And they considered that they did. But on that occasion he asked it in that questioning way. "Do ye now understand?" We may ask you the question with regard to the things of salvation and of grace. You hear them perhaps time and time again, but do you truly understand with heart and soul? Well, the Lord gives understanding. He gives the grace for us to receive the word. And therefore it was given unto these to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. The great mystery was to know the effects of that word in their hearts, to know the effect of God's work which must be accomplished. The ground must be good ground. What will make the ground good but when the plough of the Spirit may turn over the clods of our heart, break us up, bring us to know that in ourselves dwelleth no good thing, to prove that we cannot bring anything forth, or what we have brought forth is nothing else than tares or briars or weeds. All that must go if we are to receive the seed, else it will be choked. It will then not be of any benefit. Or then to know the Spirit's work in its beginning, first beginning with our heart in preparation, to prepare us to receive the good word of the gospel. But then do we not need that that faith? Oh, he gives faith. Without faith, we cannot receive the word. It is to believe. A blessed thing when we do believe. But oh, we may have to offer more now for felt unbelief. Oh, could I but believe, says the hymn writer, then all would easy be. And yet, in his felt lack, he knew much of faith. He looked to the one who could supply his need, the one who could enable him to receive the word in faith. But as the seed sown will need the rains to come down and to water it. So we also need those times of refreshing, times when there will be the blessing that attends the word. How needful that is, that there should be the attending the word with the blessing of God. That is what will make the difference. Then the word comes with power, and it is the power that we require. There are those solemn characters that the apostle speaks of, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. But those that know the things of which we've been speaking, the work of the Spirit in ploughing our hearts, as it were, and in the granting us faith to receive, so that we may be ready for what is sent. And then the word coming and abiding in the heart may receive those showers of blessing, that we may feel and know the blessing of God upon us. We shall not know always those things, as in nature there are the varying times and moments. There may be the times when there is little blessing, little rain, so to speak. But then how we have to mourn, brought to cry unto him that he will cause the heavens to open, and that there should be the coming down, the rending of those heavens, that we may not be left destitute. Do you fear your destitution? That is something which the wayside hearer never feels and knows. But a poor destitute soul may feel its barrenness, and yet in the appointed time the rains are sent. The scripture speaks of the former and the latter rains, and those rains were appointed at the time of need. When the seed was sown, it needed those rains before there should be the final evidence of fruit and its readiness to be reaped. So the rains would be sent to swell the grain, so that the distinction could be clear. In the tares there was no corn in the ear, no real evidence. But with the wheat there was the corn, and then the full corn in the ear. How the heavenly sower or reaper or husbandman, he looks for fruit. And we shall need to we shall need the evidence, attestation of the Spirit itself, that there is fruit. To know the Spirit's witness with our spirit that we are among the sons of God. Well, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. How we often need that gracious truth to so warm our hearts also, that we may know the love of the truth. Do you love the truth? Do you love those precious doctrines? Some may say, oh, it's dry doctrine. It's dry doctrine if it's not sown. It's dry doctrine to you if there's no planting of those precious things. When men speak of dry doctrine, they're often referring to preachers who have not tasted and felt the word of God, the word of life. It's but academic. Therefore they find it unprofitable. And we find there is a discerning hearer. But a discerning hearer will never cast out that doctrine which is sown, though perhaps sown in much weakness, yet it bears the evidence that the preacher has tasted of that word himself, being a partaker of the fruit of that precious truth. A man, therefore, that is exercised with regard to whether he was one of the Lord's. Was he chosen? Was he one that was born or to be born in due time? Born again? Yes, born into this world. He must be if he is to be seen as a vessel of God's mercy. There comes a time when, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. We are born to die, naturally. But when that seed of divine truth is sown into the soul, we are then born unto life. We have experienced and known our deadness, which we did not know before. The dead know not anything. Nor those professors of religion, they may claim to know much, but if it's not entered into the soul, then they will come in that solemn moment to say, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in thy name, prophesied, spoken this, said that, done the other. And he will say, I never knew you. There is no evident change. There's no evident life. There's no evident grace. There's not the evidence of showing the very image of him who died and suffered for a poor needy soul and whose righteousness we can only hope to receive, having none of our own. That righteousness imputed, God given. Oh, what a blessed thing it is when we see that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but such a beauty in the righteousness of Christ, who has wrought out for us through suffering in the shedding of blood, that which will therefore make us acceptable. Accepted in the beloved, the dear beloved Son of God, to be found in Christ, and Christ to be found dwelling in our heart as the hope of glory. And therefore are these things, they bring about a difference. They bring about a separation. It will be seen as to whose we are and whom we serve. Do we follow after the things of this world? Will we be taken up with all the trifles of a day, as though this is our home? We have nothing better than to, as it were, pull down our barns and to build greater, seeking increase in this world. That is much the spirit we find of today. Even the Lord's people may not escape from such an indictment, such an accusation. How much of our time is taken up with what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed, as though that is, as the saying is, the be-all and end-all of things. But if we only eat and drink and are clothed, then we can have no other guarantee than that we shall perish. Because these things will pass away. But can it be said unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Therefore, not clothed with your bright clothes and affairs, but, oh, to be clothed with his righteousness, to be clothed with his meekness, to be clothed in humility, to be granted that love, to be fed with the word, that is your meat and drink, desiring that you might know the power of those things as Christ is made precious to you. In the opening hymn that you sung, the hymn writer desires this: when my faith is faint and sickly, or when Satan's wounds my mind, cordials to revive me quickly, healing medicines here I find. When my Jesus shines therein into my mind. Well, it's sovereign. It's sovereign. We know it's sovereign. A man cannot manufacture these times, but he can desire them, long for them, wait for them, plead for them. Oh, then to find that pleading of our heart. But dear friends, you may say, and you will not be alone in saying it, you may say, oh, my prayerlessness, so cold. Yet, the very evidence of your concern, I trust it is a concern, will mean that you cannot be satisfied with your coldness, your indifference. Oh, you need him to come to touch your heart. You need him to take the live coal from the altar, to touch your lips, that you may then utter freely those things which are true and honest and of good report, the things which are lovely. How lovely it is when we may consider those are virtues that flow from Christ himself. A faith look at the blessed wounds, for he was wounded for our transgressions. And unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And here is the one whose kingdom you enter into. The one who suffered, bled and died. Oh, can you say with a humble hope that you are not ignorant of those things? He was bruised for your iniquity. Ah, you may speak much of your sin, and if you speak much of it, does it pain you deeply? Deeply. Well, the wounds were deep that he suffered on your account. But what was it in? It was all in love. Love to the souls of those that were his from all eternity. He came to redeem. And that is a thing which must be known in some small measure, that he came to lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends. And you would be his friend to continue in those things that are concerning him. But like Peter, Peter denied his Lord. Was he then his friend? Well, if it depended upon Peter, then doubtless there would soon have been a separation. But none could pluck Peter out of the hand of his master, of his true friend, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that would indeed look upon him in pity and mercy, even though he'd only uttered or hardly uttered the words, "I know not the man." But Peter was to hear words from his master. "Listen, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He certainly had been forward in saying, "I will go with thee even unto death." We do not realize, you know, in some of the things that we say, how much presumption there is in it. But Peter now was to be of a very different mind. As the Lord pressed the point, "Lovest thou me?" "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Well, in these things, we're made to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. What a mystery the kingdom of God is, though. It's a mystery in the sense that we have to pass through some deep waters. We have to be proved. God's proving work. He proved his Hezekiah. Hezekiah had done a good work. The time when the enemy was besieging the city, he ensured the waters were all brought into the city so that the enemy would not be able to obtain any means of benefit from those, but also that the people will be supplied. Despite the railings that were made to those that were upon the wall, despite the letter with all its blasphemies, yet Hezekiah, he held fast, he held strong. But when the Lord touched him and said unto him, "Thou shalt die and not live," poor Hezekiah had to turn his face to the wall. And he confessed his case. What he said was undoubtedly so, but the Lord afflicted him and brought him to face death, that he might then know the preciousness of that life. And in it he said, "By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of one's spirit." And so by those things he came to know the blessedness of that deliverance and of that mercy and grace. He came to know that for peace that he had experienced beforehand, he had had bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Let me take another character, David. David committed adultery, had Uriah slain. What more dastardly work could be done by any man? And here was a man who ruled the kingdom, a man who had professed to walk in the fear of God. It's only as we're kept, isn't it, dear friends? It's only as we're kept. But let us turn to that 51st Psalm, and there David, he had a case to plead. He could plead that washing, that cleansing, that purging. The purging with hyssop, the cleansing that he may know through atoning blood. A renewing of a right spirit within him. Having confessed against thee, "The only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Now it is for you to know the mystery of the kingdom. Where there is a knowing, there is true repentance and godly sorrow found in your heart. Some may speak of the love of God, but you will know little of the love of God without repentance. Repentance is an essential part of the believer's life. And following the sentiments of the hymn writer, he said, "Daily I'd repent of sin." And it's in that daily repentance that he has to come and plead the precious blood that does atone. Oh, then to be found often in that frame of mind. "Well, unto you, therefore, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But where there's repentance, true God-given repentance, there will be God-given forgiveness. And what a blessing it is that the Lord pardons. And when he pardons and washes away feelingly your sin, though you may have to say, like the apostle, still you find the good that you would you do not, the evil that you would not that you do. Sin still remains because of your old nature. You know better in that. Therefore you have to come continually to the mercy seat to obtain mercy and to find grace in your time of need. And every moment that we may be convinced of having grieved him will be a moment of need, great need. And therefore to fly, as it were, to fly to the wounds of the dear Son of God. He bled. He suffered, he bled, he died for you. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? Well then, these are the ones that are brought to know the kingdom, the mystery of the kingdom. We prayed for the prodigals in their being brought again, being brought back. Are you a prodigal returning? You know, dear friends, it's a very sweet and blessed account, a parable. It is true. But nonetheless, if you have walked in those things, you will know something of its mystery. The fact that the Father, he never ceased to look for his Son. And whatever you might have been, and what you are now, again, we use the hymn writer's words, they're so pertinent. Rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I fulfilled. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore in loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, it's not been easy. It's been by some solemn means. Emptied of self, wounded, brought as though you have nothing. Nothing now. And yet, is there not a little hope that you might find a place in the Father's house, if only as a hired servant? But what is received at his returning? The Father takes no loss of time in calling for the shoes, for the ring, for the robe. Those things that his wayward son may now be accepted and be given. God is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you also will do it. Oh, the faithfulness of God. Well, then you know a little of the mystery of the kingdom. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace. The kingdom of the devil is darkness, unrest, and death itself. There's no peace for the wicked, but there's peace for those who are taught the mystery of the kingdom of God. And whence do we obtain that peace? Well, it's through that suffering of the one who gave himself a ransom for many. Peace by his cross, as Jesus made the church's everlasting head. Now the seed of the word, is it fallen? Has it fallen into good ground? Is it cultivated by the fact that there are blessings that shower down? The warmth of the Son of Righteousness himself that brings forth the blade, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, that ye may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But where there is a growing in grace, there will be a growing down in yourself. Here, he must increase, I must decrease. And I think it was William Romaine said, towards the end of his days, he said, I've almost got to the bottom of the class. What did he mean? Well, he meant that he in himself was nothingness. But we can be sure that his Lord was all in all. Well, it's unto you, is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Those that are called, chosen, and who through the grace of God are made faithful. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £795, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Friday evening and Mr. Ridout next Lord's Day, and our friends at Oakington hold their New Year's service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 896. A fountain, cries the man of God, a fountain with a purple flood, a fountain opened for the poor, where sickly souls may find a cure. 896.
Lord, thine own word and truth, and pardon anything amiss. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.